From the heart of Runeterra, this is League of Legends Radio with your host, Ponderous Sea Lion.
Hello, Summoners, and welcome back to another episode of League of Legends Radio. I'm your host, Ponderous Sea Lion. We're going to be hopefully squaring off against the Lola guys on Monday, this coming Monday. The 13th at 7 p.m. is what it looks like we're going to be doing. So if that does happen, I'll put it on Twitch. I'll put it on Twitter. You should go to my Twitter if you want to watch that. Just follow me for updates on that, because that is going to be where I post it, hopefully at least a day, hopefully several hours before the, before we actually go live. And we'll be talking about that. That's going to be fun. The League of Legends Anonymous Grudge Match of the Century to determine who is the superior podcaster or podcast, I guess. It's going to be me every time, maybe. But yeah, so that'll be fun. And yeah, I guess let's get into this episode. We're going to be teaching you how to win games without any say-so from your teammates. Very important skill. Alright, so this week I want to talk to you guys about how to play to carry games, and something very specific and concrete that you can do to put yourself in the position to win the game. Not to try and get your teammates ahead to try to win. This is so that you can win by yourself. And it has to do with how you funnel resources into yourself. This one mostly applies to jungle, but it can apply to other lanes. So it also helps a lot to understand it as a laner, because if you play with someone with this mindset, sometimes you just have to let them be the one to carry. And what it has to do with is when you're ahead, whoever is the most ahead and has the highest chance of carrying the game is the person that should get the resources. And resources being typically farm in side lanes and buffs. Those are typically what I mean by resources. Sometimes it can mean kills, but normally you just want to try to get the kills. You don't, unless it's a super obvious guaranteed kill, you don't really want to be handing off kills. It's just a bad practice, because it can cost you kills a lot of the time, because, you know, you're expecting them to die, and then they flash heal, and then you don't get any kills because you were trying to give it away to someone. So kills I don't really count, but they can count for this. But what it has to do with is when you are ahead, when you're doing well, you take all the farm, you take all the buffs, and you try to win the game by yourself. This was manifesting itself really well in some of the games I was playing last night, and what happened was I was playing Kha'Zix. I was I definitely went legendary. I was like 8-1, and my rise was, or no, it was an Orianna. It was an Orianna that was 3-4, and we're about 20 minutes in or so, and I'm going towards the blue buff, and she starts spam pinging that she's on her way, and I pinged her no, like the exclamation point, no, you're not coming, you're not getting this. And she shows up, she expects to get the blue buff, and I smite it. Because who do you really think is going to be the one carrying that game? The 8-1 Kha'Zix or the 3-4 Orianna? Who's going to be the one that's putting in the work, that's going to be doing the damage, that's going to be winning the game? It's going to be Kha'Zix. It's going to be Kha'Zix in that scenario 10 times out of 10. Now, when you get to super late game, like 40-plus minutes, yeah, even if the Orianna's not doing well, it's still probably better for her to have blue buff because she's a control mage. But for that mid-game spike, hell no. I'm taking that buff 10 times out of 10. If I was Lee Sin, maybe she'd get it. But Kha'Zix is a champion that does benefit from having mana a lot, because especially with the current meta with W max second on Kha'Zix, you can poke down enemy teams surprisingly well for a Kha'Zix. It's kind of reminiscent of like season 3, Alex each pen to kill Kha'Zix. I don't know how many of you guys were around back then when Kha'Zix's W was a nuke for like absurd amounts of damage. It was actually broken. You could probably find videos of it on YouTube, but that was a disgusting champion back then. But regardless, it's about winning the game, and that's what you want to do. You want to blow up the enemy Nexus, you want to get kills, you want to get objectives, and then you want to kill their Nexus. That's what you want to do. And putting your gold on the person who is going to most effectively contribute to that is what you want to be doing. Because when I took that blue buff, that means that I can then spam my abilities when I'm farming on my camps, or if I decide to go to a side lane, I can push it out really quickly with my W. There, and it also allows me to ensure that in any team fights that break out, I'm going to have enough mana to sustain through the entire fight. Point being, it's just not particularly useful to put it on someone that's super far behind and isn't going to be the one carrying the game. And the unfortunate thing about it is that people aren't going to see it that way. I got when I took that blue buff from the 3 and 4 Orianna, I got the question mark ping, like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you taking my blue buff? Because mid laners think that they're entitled to early blue buffs. I mean, this is the guy that was pinging the second blue buff. Like, if you're a mid laner and you're not 3-0 by the time the second blue buff starts, fuck you if you ping that shit. That is not your buff. That is the jungler's buff. Really, all of them are the jungler's buffs. You really can ask for them, but if the jungler doesn't want to give them, unless he's like 1-5 and you're like 3-0, then you can take it, and that jungler's just an idiot, probably. But almost every time, it is the jungler's buff to decide what he wants to do with it, not the laners. And AD carries pinging the third blue when they're fucking 1-2. You're not getting it. You're not getting the third red buff. Or did I say blue buff? I meant red buff. You're not getting the red buff as an AD carry with me until probably the 25-minute mark. That's when you're starting to get red buffs from me, because especially if I'm playing Graves, like, then you are lucky if you get one all game, to be completely honest. But that's just because I have the mentality that I need to win this game, that this game is going to be on me to carry. It's going to be up to me to win this game by myself. And whether or not that is actually the case, you have to think like it is. And then it helps with your tilt, because when your teammates are monkeys, you're like, oh, okay, I expected this. This is okay. Luckily, I'm strong enough to 1v9 right now. I put all of the farm, all the resources into myself, and now I'm going to be able to win the game with no say-so from my teammates. They can try to drag me down. I'm not going to let them. I'm going to win by myself. And the thing that makes this tough, especially in solo queue, is that you're going to get abused for it by your teammates. Verbally abused. Not like in-game abused, like the enemy team's going to... I mean, the enemy team can take advantage of it. Like, if you take all the resources, you're 8-1, and you're doing super well, but then you just go and kill yourself in the enemy jungle twice and give them a bunch of shutdown gold, then thereby transfer your buffs over. I mean, you're not doing any favors to your team by taking those buffs if you're just going to turn around and go kill yourself. Like, the problem with it is that when you play the early game well, there's more pressure on you, and you're like one of the only people that does well, there's more pressure on you to play the mid game well and the late game well. It's unfortunate that you have to carry your team in all stages of the game, because you'd think, like, okay, I carried the early game, my team should be caught back up by now from the lead that I've got in our team. Now we just have to work together and we'll win the game. No, that's not how it works. Everybody knows that's not how it works. You carry the early game, it's going to be on you to carry the mid game. You have to play above your average to carry the mid game if you're the only person that's fed, and if you're taking all the resources, which you should be when you're fed. There are very few exceptions to this rule. Like, if you're playing Zach, maybe that would be an exception that you would want to give. Like, even if you're, I mean, Zach players often go legendary just because that champion's base damages are stupid. But Zach would be, like, maybe an exception to the rule where you might want to still give up a lot of the resources just because late game you're not going to have the impact that anyone else is going. I mean, you're going to be a tank, obviously, but being a tank has very little to do with your gold income. I mean, it helps, but it's not going to help the way that it would help a carry. You know what I mean? When you put all the gold on yourself as Zach, you're going to feel it in the late and mid game. You're going to feel that your carries are much weaker than they need to be. And it doesn't matter if you have an extra dead man's plate. Like, they're not going to kill you regardless. It's more about, hey, you really need your teammates to have the follow-up damage that's going to let you win the game. So tanks that can get a lot of kills are probably the exception to the rule. You shouldn't really be taking all the resources, but in my opinion, you shouldn't be playing those champions in solo queue unless they're what you like playing, because they don't carry. I mean, if you like playing them, go for it. Tanks are good in low elo, but I just think it doesn't promote the right mindset for climbing. I think that it promotes the mindset of, I'm going to set up my team to win the game, when I really think that the mindset should be, I'm going to set up me to win the game by myself. Because you can't rely on anyone in solo queue. You really can't. To elaborate more on my point of, like, your teammates are going to verbally abuse you for taking the 3rd, 4th, 5th blue as the jungler, 4th, 5th red buff as the jungler, and going and farming the side lanes, you have to learn to tune them out. And if that means literally using the mute all feature, then go for it. I'm a huge proponent of using mute all if it's affecting your gameplay. Like, so many times I've been just farming in my jungle as a jungler, and then I'm getting spam pinged and called useless by my team. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna fucking gank their stupid ass lane, and then I die for it. And then I'm just insanely tilted after that, whereas I wouldn't have made a stupid decision to go and get peer pressured into going and making a stupid gank if I had chat turned off. Like, chat very rarely is actually essential in this game. Very rarely. And the good thing is that you can always type to your team, and if you have something important to say, and then you just don't have to read what they type back. Especially now with the new ping. Like, with the new ping system, which is one of the best changes that Riot has made in, like, the history of this game, where you can ping your gold, ping your cooldowns, ping your everything. I really love that change. That makes typing even less essential. Like, then it was already not important to do at all. Now you don't have to do it at all. You don't have to use the chat feature. You could easily get to Diamond without using the chat feature. Probably Challenger without using the chat feature. Really, really is not important in this game. Anybody who tells you otherwise, I think, is wrong. I think that they have the wrong mindset. They're thinking of it as a team game. And it is a team game, but It really is a 1v9. Like, you're playing against your teammates a lot of the time. And people say that's an unhealthy mindset to have. But if it's the truth, it's the truth, you know? So often in this game, it feels like your teammates are actively working against you, that you might as well call it a 1v9. That's what it is. And sometimes, because nobody plays well every game, sometimes you're the one that's working against the Fed guy. Sometimes you're in the 9 in that 1v9. And that's okay, because I've been that guy a lot. Guarantee all of you have been that guy a lot, because it's just something that happens. And in that scenario, just to turn this on its head for the closing segment, when there is a guy trying to 1v9 and you can recognize it, back the fuck off and let him do it. Let him win the game for you, please. Don't be petty. Don't go and take the waves that he has pinged. Don't go and take the jungler's camps because you don't like the way that he's playing. You don't like how much he's farming because he's doubling your CS as a mid laner. Don't do that. Sit back and give them what they need to win the game. Because when you are not the one or two guys that are carrying the game, you need to back off and see what the people that are going to win the game need. Now, late game, you know, you might have a 1-6 Kog'Maw at the 40-minute mark is still going to be more useful than the 13-0 Kha'Zix, just because that's what point in the game it's at. At that point, you can start taking the resources. You are going to be more useful, just because at that point, score is irrelevant, and just your raw stats are going to win the game for you. Now, if you're still just horrible at the game, and you're 1-6 on Kog'Maw, you have one kill at 40 minutes, really? Really? If you're still going to be useless because you can't team fight position, you can't do anything right, then, you know, give it to the guys that are fed. Even if on paper they're less useful than you would be, you can still give them the resources if in practice you're going to be useless. Or the person that should be useful, like say that it's you're the Kha'Zix and then someone else is the Kog'Maw. The Kog'Maw's spam pinging the red buff, but you've seen him get Malphite ulted 3 team fights in a row. Just take the red buff. Like, he's not going to do anything with it. You already know that he's not going to do anything with it. Players don't change or improve over the course of a game. It almost never happens. And that's why you have to take this mentality to heart of putting all the resources in the person who's going to win the game, and then standing back and letting them win the game, or proactively taking that mantle for yourself and winning the game for your team. Well, not for your team, winning it for yourself. Your team just gets to tag along on your coattails. Lucky bastards. But I hope this makes sense, because it's how I play, and sometimes it works for me. Most of the time it works for me if I play well. Sometimes it doesn't. There are times that you're going to need your teammates, but really at low elo, you really can't rely on them for anything. And low elo is Diamond 4 below, because everyone in that bracket range, yeah, that 99% of the player base is actually useless. So really just don't rely on them for anything. But yeah, it's about shifting your mentality to winning the game for yourself and to being proactive about how you achieve that goal. All right, and that just about wraps it up for this episode of League of Legends Radio. Guys, don't forget the League of Legends Anonymous Grudge Match, hopefully happening on Monday, 2 days from now. It's going to be fun. There's going to be blood. There's going to be tears. Friendships will be shattered. It's going to be a good time. It's basically what I'm trying to say. It's going to be fun. So be sure to check that out. Follow me on Twitter at LO Legends Radio for some updates on that. It's going to be streamed on my Twitch, twitch.tv/PonderousSeaLion. And it should also be on the League of Legends Anonymous guys Twitch, which I am not sure what that is. But whoops. My bad. Sorry, guys. And I guess that's about all I've got. So I guess I'll catch you guys on the flippity flop.
This has been League of Legends Radio.